Good to see you all. Good morning. So I trust we have some time to pray already. So I'm sorry we have to come from the airport area, so blame me. I'm a little bit late. So this morning, I think we still have three sessions, am I right? You have this thing in your hand, but this little three lessons for the next month's family training. However, I really will not be covering this this morning, but I will say something about it, how to use it and how not to use it. Now, this morning, I may have to be a little bit general, but still I will do my best to be specific. I'd like to take the first two sessions to cover a burden. Some time ago, or I don't even remember when, Shuming, where are you? You said something yesterday that I have actually passed on, I don't know to who, some outlines on the gates of the New Jerusalem. Right. Was it given to this group or to who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we distributed them to the locality coordinators.
Okay. All right.
The locality coordinators
have
given them.
All right.
Trainees.
All right.
That's another matter.
All right. Okay. So, do you recall how many outlines were there?
There were five.
Five of them. Okay. I think that's exactly what I have in my here. And if you don't have it, it's okay. do go back and check if you have received them. We never use them. I just have them distributed in the way he mentioned. But please dig it out and go through it somehow. Actually, I think it may be good for the brothers and sisters all to go through it. You may start with the elders or the responsible brothers going through it together as a group, much like we did when we have the training. Huh? You have this weekly time with six or eight or something like this to go through a lesson in the eldership lessons, something like that. Use this. They're all together five messages with outlines and excerpts. As I said, it is on the general topic of the gates of the New Jerusalem. You should remember that fellowship I had there in South San Francisco a few months back on the matter of the gates. And since then, I myself have been into this matter. And at least within me, it is much more developed. But still, the many of the main points are there. I would say very rich and very enlightening. Actually, I use the word very, very convicting. I'm just saying personally. And I told the brothers yesterday that I really believe that this is quite timely kind of a speaking concerning the gates. And obviously, with the gates, we are talking about the gospel. We're talking about gaining people or persons for the Lord and for the Lord's body, which really is the New Jerusalem. And so I hope we can do that. You know, even as we speak, I was thinking about, you know, coming here, I was going to cover message 4 and 5 of this 5 outlines. Even as I'm speaking now, I'm thinking maybe I should go back to message 1. let me read the subject matter to you. Huh? I mean the subject for each outline, and you tell me what you want me to talk about. How about this morning? Let you do the choosing. In the end, we're touching the same thing. So the gates of the New Jerusalem is a general subject. Message 1, seeing our need for both walls and gates as revealed in the sign of the New Jerusalem. So New Jerusalem is a sign, and we want to see this matter of the walls and the gates, rather the wall with the gates, as revealed in that ultimate and final sign in the book of Revelation. Message 2, seeing the present need in the Lord's recovery, not only walls for protection, but gates for entrance. Not only walls for protection, but gates for entrance. The third message, becoming pillars at the entrance of God's dwelling place. I mentioned to some brothers yesterday, this is, of course, based on Exodus, on the pattern of the tabernacle, where there are two sets of pillars, 5 pillars over here, holding up a screen that separates the outer court and the holy place. And then there's a second set of pillars with 4 pillars comprising 3 entrances that hold up a veil that separates the holy place and the holiest of all. By the way, the holiest of all is a primitive type of the New Jerusalem. You know, the holiest place is a cube. You know, a 4-square cube. Every side is same dimension. Exactly. The only other thing like that is the New Jerusalem in the Bible. It's exact cube. Except that cube is universal in scale. But that little cube in the holiest of all, in the tabernacle, is quite tiny by comparison. But that little cube actually foretells or foreshadows the eternal cube, the New Jerusalem in the new heaven and the new earth. Sometime you should do a study, you know, what is that ark? The 2 cherubims, am I right? The blood sprinkled. And then inside the ark of what? The golden pot. And then what? With the manna in it. Am I right? And then you have the law. No, the tablets of the law. And then finally, you have the budding rod. All these things, you have to compare that with chapter 21 and 22 in Revelation. And you will see the correlation. So in the Old Testament, that whole tabernacle depicts actually a journey into God. Amen. A journey of man into God, a journey of the tripartite man into the triune God. Amen. Starts with the outer court, and then into the holy place, and then into the holiest of all, which consummates that, the holiest of all, that consummates eventually in the New Jerusalem. So you may say, these screens and these veils as types in the Old Testament, what? They signify the entrances, or we can even use the word the gates, for people to enter into the triune God, into this mingling with God, which results eventually in this new Jerusalem. So this message 3 talks about those entrances, or those gates, if you will, in the form of pillars. These pillars are the human beings, or the proper persons, proper believers, I should say, who provide an entrance for men as the redeemed creatures to enter into the triune God. So we want to talk about the gates of the New Jerusalem using this particular type. And then message 4 was what I was going to talk about today. We don't talk about the gates in that kind of way. We come to the burden. It is called living a fruit-bearing life with vital companions to bear remaining fruit for the increase of the Lord's body. That's the gates, right? There's not one gate, there are many gates. And then finally, we have message 5, bringing people into the church life in a progressive way with patience and persistence. Well, what's the point here? The point here, the key word, is progressive. Showing that these entrances or these gates, it's not like a door here. You know, one moment you're outside, the next moment you step over the threshold, you're on the inside. No, these gates are a part of a very, very thick wall which functions actually more like a passageway. That means it takes some time to get from the outside to the inside. You just don't step over. It's a process. I would even say it's a long process for a redeemed person to be brought into the mingling with the triune God. It's a process. It takes time. It takes time. This is like to bring a saved sinner in all the way from the outer court into the holy place, into the holiest of all, is a what? Is a process. And that process is something progressive. In other words, it is step by step. You just don't throw them over the wall. You just don't push this person through the door. Actually, you have to guide them as that passageway yourself. We are the passageway. We are the gates. We are the pillars. And we are the passageway. We, the believers. This is the way how the saved persons can eventually fully come into the New Jerusalem. Amen. Today, our New Jerusalem, in a sense, should be our church life. Amen. Our church life should be a miniature of the New Jerusalem. And that's what we are here doing all the time. In gospel preaching, in saving sinners, in cherishing and nourishing them in the way of shepherding, in teaching them and perfecting them that they may grow in life, that they may know the truth, you know, the Savior God desire all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth, and eventually to what? To serve the Lord. By all these ways, we lead them in and in and in, and finally, to be built up with the other saints, to be part of the New Jerusalem, of this corporate mingling of God with man. And that requires much patience and persistence. So all these are related. So this is the five messages. This morning I was going to cover the last two. What do you think? My point, I'm not here just wanting to give messages, you know, although it says message. I want to impart a burden, and even a burden for practice, not just inspiration, okay? Because this, to follow the line of the family training, I feel this burden is not gotten through yet, I will tell you. And I am determined we'll get through with this burden in Northern California. How about that?
Amen.
How about that for a determination?
Amen.
Let's get through with this.
Amen.
Whatever it takes. I will say something more. You know, in message 4 on fruit bearing, I came upon a very interesting article. Listen to this, because this talk about fruit bearing in John 15, right? That just this line would make you interested. The topic of this article is not a spiritual article, just an article on vines. Struggling vines produce better wines.
Amen.
No. I'm not a, what they call, oh, these people who work on the vineyard and make wine. I'm not that. But I'm thoroughly inspired by this.
Amen.
And very applicable to our experience.
Amen.
When we talk about bearing fruit.
Amen.
Anyway, what do you think? Should we talk about the gates, or should we talk about fruit bearing? Huh? Okay, let me say this again. I think I will cover the according to my burden, not your selection. But let me say this, my assignment, go back, brothers in this room, go back and get into these, dig out these five outlines with material ministry and get into it together as a group.
Amen.
How about that for an assignment?
Amen.
Okay, and I want you to finish this assignment by the summer training, which means you better start this week. Okay? And then we'll finish. In other words, take one per week. Find a time, or in your elders' meeting, push aside the other things, cover this. Okay? As much as you can. And I would like to think that if you have some cluster time, use this for a little conference with the saints. After you got into these things, you bring these things to the brothers and sisters. Let's get into these things until we get through. All right. Now, no time to read these verses in John 15, but you must read them, especially verses 1 through 8, and then verse 16. They're all specifically related to fruit bearing. Well, let me quickly read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If one does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is dried up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will become my disciples. So that's 8 verses, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. there it is. This actually is a dear chapter to the inner life people. Except the emphasis of the fruit bearing is not so much about gaining people, but more about bearing fruit in their lives, yeah, you know, in the virtues of their living, which is not wrong, which is not wrong. But if you study this again and again, you realize that that is inadequate. That is actually not the ultimate point here. The point here is the Father is growing a tree, right? A vine tree. And we all know a vine tree has no other purpose except to bear fruit. It's not good for making furniture. It's not good for making a weapon. It's not good for making utensils. It's ugly looking, so it's definitely not made for display and exhibition. A vine tree has only one unique function, that is to bear fruit. And so the whole chapter here is, these verses here, is on fruit bearing. And so, yes, there is the side of bearing fruit, like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. So a fruit in our living, in our Christian living, in our God-man living. Surely there is that aspect. But there's the other side of the fruit that is on the side of what? Of much. You see here it says more fruit, much fruit, remaining fruit. You are even sent. You have been chosen. You have been set that you can bear much remaining fruit. Well, here it is not just talking about your spirituality. Here it is talking about the necessary enlargement of the expression of what? Of the triune God by means what? Of the planting, of the growing, of the development, and eventually fruit-bearing of this organism of the triune God. That is the church, that is the body of Christ, and this is the singular desire of the Father. Well, of the triune God. But the Father, being the husbandman, is the one who planned, who prepared everything to, what, grow this vine which is God the Son. Am I right? And of course, in order for this to happen, there has to be the supply of the God the Spirit in the forms of nutrients, in the form of water, in the forms of all these things, in the end, so that the branches that makes up this vine would all bear much fruit. And all this is for the glory of the Father. That means In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit.
Amen. Amen.
And so this must very, very much include this burden of the what? Preaching of the gospel, the right? The gaining of people. And in persons, in numbers, and so on and so forth. So we need a balance. We need the life side. For sure, we will never give this up. But we need the other side, and that is to gain the quantity, the number of fruit. Here it talks about, I better not even get into the outline, because once I get in, I won't get out. So, and time is ticking. So let me just say this. immediately after the Lord say, I'm the true vine, and the Father is the husbandman, right? This is just loaded with truth and riches and revelation concerning actually God's economy. The Father being the source, the husbandman to grow his Son as the vine. Okay, this organism. And right away in verse 2, look, right away in verse 2, it doesn't say the Father bought a plot, the Father, you know, did this. No, right away the second verse, every branch in me. It's like the Lord couldn't wait to get to the point. Every branch in me. Well, what is every branch? Huh? You. Me. He didn't say the branches in me. He said every branch. The Lord is getting personal. The Lord immediately, in his speaking, gets to the point that each branch, you, brother, me, each branch in me, that means who is joined to the vine, you know, we all been grafted, I assume you all understand these things, into this vine tree, each branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. Like he couldn't wait to get to the point. It's all about fruit. What he wants is fruit. So if, you know, if you don't bear fruit, he just get to the point right away. And every branch, this is not certain branches, but every branch. Brothers, each one of you. Huh? Any exception?
No.
Are you a branch?
Yes.
Right. So, he's talking to you. The Lord is talking to you. Every branch in me. Yeah, you in me. But if you don't bear fruit, he takes it away. I don't know what does it mean, taking away. But it's not good. You know, I think Brother Lee once said that, well, I'm not taken away. I haven't borne fruit, but I'm still here. I'm still in the church. I'm still coming to the meetings. He said something like, you don't know, but you're taken away already. You're still sitting here. You're still, amen, but no fruit. Actually, in another sense, you're already taken away.
Amen.
This is serious.
Amen.
This is serious, my brothers. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. My, this is a lose-lose situation. If I don't bear fruit, I'm going to be removed. If I bear fruit, I'm going to get cut. See, this is why I brought this outline. Struggling vine produce better wines. I will explain to you. The point is, the Lord is hungry for fruit. If you don't bear fruit, he's going to take you away. If you bear fruit, he wants more fruit. This is a very determined farmer. Or what do you call it? Not farmer. This is a vine dresser. Am I right? The old term. A very determined vine dresser. He got blinders on. He just won fruit. And brothers, I feel we need to get through on this point.
Amen.
God, the Lord, the tree, wants fruit.
Amen.
In Northern California.
Amen.
He wants fruit.
Amen.
And he wants fruit from every single branch.
Amen.
Don't argue with him. You will lose your case. Don't make excuses, because all those excuses wouldn't stand. I really mean it. I mean, there comes a point we have to deal with this matter and deal with the Lord in this matter and not just turn the other way or make up more excuses. Some of us are taken away already. We think we're okay, but we're taken away already. But if you bear fruit, he is going to prune you.
Amen.
Or cleanse you. He will do something with the view that you can bear more fruit.
Amen.
It's like the Lord is saying, you know, he opens his eyes. In his eyes is just the word fruit, you know. A bunch of grapes here. All he sees is fruit. When he sees the branch, he just wants fruit.
Amen.
You say, well, I have some other stuff. The Lord says, I don't want any other stuff. I just want fruit.
Amen.
Where is your fruit?
Amen.
Where is my fruit?
Amen.
And if you don't bear fruit, I am stuck. Because I'm the vine tree. I have no reason to exist but to bear fruit. You have no reason except to bear fruit. You have to, brothers, we have to get it. And we have to help the saints to get it. What? That we are on the earth for fruit.
Amen.
To bear fruit. Every day, why do you get up? To bear fruit.
Amen.
Why do you go to bed? To bear fruit.
Amen.
Why do you read the Bible?
Bear fruit.
To be spiritual?
No.
Why do you call all, O Lord Jesus? To bear fruit.
Amen.
Why do you walk in the Spirit? To bear fruit.
Amen.
Why do you eat and drink Jesus? To bear fruit.
Amen.
Get it?
I'm
not so sure. Oh, we're here to eat and drink. To get fat? To get be more spiritual? I hope these days in the churches there's just this word, fruit. How about we put the word fruit on that wall? I'm glad they took away a lot of ugly pictures in this room. Okay, but put the word fruit.
Amen.
Brothers, I'm not joking. I'm not joking. We must be deeply impressed by this. Okay. So fruit, then right away, more fruit.
Amen.
And then he said, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Clearly meaning that this pruning, this cleansing is by the word. You know, in Ephesians, you have what? The washing of the water in the word to sanctify you. Am I right? This is Ephesians 5. The concept is the same. You don't bear fruit because you're not clean. You're not sanctified. You don't live a holy life. You are still worldly. You're still sinful. You're still you know what I mean? Unclean. You still have too many other branches going on. You need to be pruned. You need to be snipped. You need to be cut. That's part of the struggling vine. By what, brothers? By the word.
Amen.
To bear fruit, we need the cleansing of the word.
Amen.
The word to sanctify us, that we can live a sanctified living.
Amen.
Not just to be spiritual. Not just even, so to speak, to express God. But even that God would find a greater expression in us by us bearing other people as fruit. Okay, abide in me and I in you. This is talk about too much among us. So to bear this fruit, there is a singular requirement, and that is we live a life in union with the vine. That's why we need to, what? Live a mingled life. Am I right? We need to live that God-man living. We need to touch the Lord. We need to, what? Walk in the mingled spirit. All these things that we know about, we practice, is for fruit.
Amen.
Abide in me and I in you. Then, thus may you be spiritual. No, the Lord didn't say that. He said, as the branch, again, coming back, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Again, the Lord is singularly minded. It's just fruit. Everything is for fruit. I cleanse you for fruit. I prune you for fruit. You abide in me for fruit. I abide in you for fruit. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. So abide in me so that you can bear fruit.
Amen.
You know, even spirituality seeking can be misplaced if it's not for fruit. You will have a kind of warped spirituality eventually. They're brothers who are very spiritual, but no fruit. Put a question mark on that spirituality. That is not tested spirituality. So we cannot bear fruit by ourselves. We need to abide in him. We need to have a life in him. Okay, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Look, fruit, more fruit, much fruit. All right? This vine dresser is relentless. He is cruel. He's pushy. He's determined. You keep excusing yourself. He would not let you get off the hook. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We all love that verse, right? Apart from you, I cannot do anything. Well, what is anything? What is nothing? This is all related to fruit.
Amen.
It's not even about overcoming. It's not about being victorious. It's not about just being holy. It's about fruit.
Amen.
Without you, Lord, I cannot bear fruit. And I need to bear fruit.
Amen.
So I will abide in you.
Amen.
To bear more fruit. And much fruit.
Amen.
You would have a different thought about your Christian life.
Amen.
You have a different purpose. You have a different, you know, measurement. You have different kind of metric to evaluate your life by fruit. By fruit. If one does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is dried up. You know, if anyone doesn't bear fruit, he takes him away. This is the same idea, except this is worse. He's cast out. My goodness, this is a violent word. Cut off. from the participation of the vine, of the riches of the vine. Brothers, we don't take this seriously. We think, oh, if I sin, that's terrible. I need to deal with it. Or if I transgressed or something, I need to deal with it. But if I didn't bear fruit, that's no big deal. There's no big deal. But brothers, this is serious. You know, it says you'll be cast out. You'll be cut off. Can a Christian be cut off? Can a branch be cut off? This is not losing your eternal salvation. Don't worry about that. But you're cut off. You're cast off as a branch. And it's dried up. That's serious. You know, brothers, if we don't fulfill our function as a branch, then we're useless. We're really useless. We are what? You know, in a vine, I don't know vine, you know. They prune. They prune a lot.
Yes.
It's not just prune, make it pretty. This is not flower arrangement pruning, okay? This is violent pruning. I mean, eventually this vine has branches are stripped, just to a few branches. So every one of those branches will bear fruit. No wasted juice, no wasted sap for those branches that does not bear fruit but look good. The vine dresser doesn't want anything that looks good. He's not after beauty. He's after fruit.
Amen.
So he's even cut off those beautiful branches so that the remaining ones can get fruit.
Amen.
This is what this thing talks about. Oh, you may think this is too much. This is too much. This is too much pressure. Absolutely. You know, brothers, sooner or later, you and I have to face this. You can dodge it. You can say, not me. This is not about me. This is about somebody else. No, it's about you. You, the elder. You, the responsible brother. It's about you. So this morning, I'm not holding anything back. I think the Lord has to get through with us in this room. I mean the branches in this room.
Amen.
How many of us would offer yourself to sacrifice yourself to be pruned as a non-fruit-bearing branch sitting here? What? I used the word sacrifice wrongly. Do you want to be the pruned branch? Or you want to be the fruit-bearing branch? Some will be pruned. Some will be cut away. So others, those who remain, can bear more fruit.
Amen.
Now this is pretty serious. And dried up. You know, I tell you, actually many saints are dried up already. They think they are still enjoying the Lord. Actually, they dried up a long time ago. Because in no fruit. 20 years in the church life, not a single piece of fruit. Not even one grape. Forget about cluster. And we say, still, it's okay. It's okay. It's not okay. Brothers and sisters, it's not okay to not have fruit. I'm not here even stirring up gospel preaching, you know, campaign. No. I don't. The Lord never used the word preaching the gospel in the book of John. Because it's a book of life.
Amen.
You know, And here is a life picture, a life reality of this vine tree. And it's not a any other kind of tree. It's a vine tree explicitly for bearing fruit. Now, if that is not bad, listen. And they gathered them. I don't know who's they. They're going to gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are burned. Now, I don't know when that will happen. I don't know how that will happen. But I know it's going to happen. Because it's clear that we are the branches. Am I right? I mean, you cannot say this is not about me. Well, you are a branch. Okay. You're going to be cast into the fire. Or some branches will be thrown into the fire and will be burned. Dried up. Burned. Cut off. Cast away. Brothers, if this doesn't scare us, I don't know what will scare us. Or convict us. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. Now how about this for the positive side? Abide in me, then my words, you know, the Lord abide in us in the form of his word. You know, of his word here. And that word in us will operate in us in many wonderful ways, his words. For sure, those words will fill us with his desire, with his burden, with his heart, with his feeling, which is all about fruit.
Amen.
In this context. Then he said, ask what you will. Well, I like to ask you, brothers, ask what? He says, ask what you will. A bigger house, a bigger, better wife. Well, not a better wife, but what in this context? What are you asking? More spiritual, more holy. What is the asking here has to do in this chapter? And it will be done for you. I believe it is must be asking for fruit.
Amen.
Am I right? Not for your own
well-being,
not for your own advance, your own betterment. It is for fruit because the husbandman just wants fruit. And the vine just needs more fruit. And it will be done for you. Meaning that there's a certain kind of prayer that will be always be answered. And that is prayer for fruit. Prayer concerning fruit. He may not answer your other prayers, but this prayer he will answer.
Amen.
But of course, you ask this only when the word, his word has filled you.
Amen.
And his word is just his being, his will, his desire, filling you up. Okay? And sanctifying you as a result. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. He used that word again. Not just fruit, but that you bear much fruit. When we bear much fruit, the Father is glorified.
Amen.
The Son cares for the Father's glory.
Amen.
And the way the Son gives glory to the Father is that his branches has lots of fruit.
Amen.
That will be immediate glory to the Father. And then finally here, you didn't choose me, verse 16, but I chose you.
Amen.
We are chosen, brothers, chosen. For what? Well, Ephesians says we're chosen to be holy. That is true. But here in John 15, I chose you and I set you. I set you. That you should go forth, you know, Brother Lee spent a lot of time on this, go forth, that means you don't stay where you are. That means you have to go. You have to take action. You have to inconvenience yourself. You have to go forth and not stay where you are. In your rocking chair. And bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So here, another thought on fruit is introduced, remaining fruit. Not even just much fruit, but fruit that remain. That means there's some fruit that doesn't remain. Remaining fruit. That, what again, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And I think in this context, again, this asking must be asking for remaining fruit. Amen. Not even just fruit, but remaining fruit. Those who have had the experience of this kind of fruit bearing knows how important prayer is. Amen. Not just general prayer, but this kind of asking prayer. Amen. On behalf of fruit. How much prayer you have to pour out for individuals, for persons, for unsaved relatives. You follow me? For that seeking colleague of yours, for even for the saints, for the backslidden ones, for all these ones, how much prayer is required for them to be born as remaining fruit.
Amen.
And it says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you.
Amen.
Brothers, I like to say that one prayer that would not be selfish, that the Lord will answer, is, Lord, give me fruit.
Amen.
It's a better prayer than, Lord, make me spiritual. Lord, give me fruit.
Amen.
More fruit. Much fruit. Remaining fruit. For the Father's glory. And for your satisfaction.
Amen.
Because I exist as a branch for nothing else but fruit. And if I'm not bearing fruit, I'm wasting my time.
Amen.
I am holding up. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here.
Amen.
Now, not that these things are new to us, brothers. And I don't care to preach to the choir, huh? This preaching to the choir a bit here. But brothers, there's a burden. There's a real burden. We need the recovery of fruit bearing. In the Lord's recovery. That doesn't mean there's no fruit bearing. Look, we're here all fruit. Someone born us, right? Somebody born you, maybe your parents, some Christians, some saints. So you're here. So, but still, I would say among us today, this matter of fruit bearing is still what? Very short. We, in the Lord's recovery, are very, very prominent in truth. That is the strength of the Lord's recovery. It's a feature of the Lord's recovery, the truth that we have. Even we have the deep truth, we have the high truth, bar none. But in this department, in this aspect of fruit bearing, I think we all have to say we're still short. It is not common. It is not every branch. Even with us, who take some lead and bear some responsibility. I have 10 more minutes, right? At dawn? Something like that. Okay. You know, we talk about the God-ordained way. We talk about the four steps of the God-ordained way. We talk about the structure, organic structure of the church. We talk about twos and threes. We talk about vital group. We talk about small group. We talk about district. We talk about this. We talk about that. You know, all of that is for bearing for more fruit.
Amen.
I mean, remaining fruit.
Amen.
In the church, for more materials.
Amen.
For God's building.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
For more members in his body, for more glory to God.
Amen.
For the testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
They are not steps for steps' sake. They're not ways for ways' sake. You know, let's practice small group. For what? Just a wonderful small group? No, the group is for fruit.
Amen.
Why do we practice twos and threes to have vital companions? For what? So that there would be fruit.
Amen.
There would be increase. I really think, you know, when I say put the word fruit there, what I mean is all the churches have to orient your church life now for fruit.
Amen.
You are in Cupertino for fruit.
Amen.
Otherwise, you have no reason to be in Cupertino, just to stand on the local ground, you know. Is that why you're in Cupertino to... I'm not singling them out. Okay, it's just come to mind. Okay, any local church, why are you there? May I ask, why are you there? Just to meet at 10 o'clock? Huh? On Sunday? Just to pray on Tuesday night? What are we doing? May I ask? Right. To bear much fruit.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
Really, really so. I would say without this, we are without purpose. And actually, even our church life is devoid of meaning. Is coming to meet meaning? Well, you say, well, we'll meet... Let us exhibit Christ. You know, we have that song, we come and meet to exhibit Christ. Well, you've been meeting like this for 20 years to exhibit Christ. I don't see much Christ here because it's still you, except now you have silver hair instead of black hair or brown, and still the same old people. What are you doing here? Well, we're still pursuing Christ. We're still not... Don't have enough Christ. Well, praise the Lord for that. But for what are you pursuing Christ? Huh? Really? Really? We're not here just to celebrate numbers, right? We just want to be big. We want to be, you know, we want to be a mega church. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this most ordinary common purpose of a branch.
Amen.
That is to bear fruit.
Amen.
I am here trying to change mentality. What do you call that? Huh? All these business terms are very cold and very technical. We need a fundamental adjustment of the purpose of our Christian life and church life. Until that change, we're still, let's do the God-ordained way. Okay, you can do the God-ordained way with no heart to bear fruit. The God-ordained way, you study it, it's all about bearing remaining fruit.
Amen.
So now I've moved from gates to fruit-bearing, right? I'm going to hit this thing from every angle until we get it. I've been here for 6 years, Jim. Well, your calculation is 5 minus 6. Okay, I've been here for 5 to 6 years. For what? I ask myself, man, what are you doing here? Why do you spend so much time? I lost track how many flights I've taken on Southwest Airlines. I think I'm one of the I flew that airline more than a lot of people. And why am I coming up here? Why am I still coming up here? Really? Why did you have the elders training? To manage the church? Well, okay, to manage the church. To manage the church for what? So you have an orderly, pretty, beautiful, fragrant church? Huh? What are we doing here? It's like I go ask a branch in the vine, hey, branch, what are you doing here? Why are you here? What's your purpose of existence? What is the meaning of your life? Well, the branch will say, are you kidding? Why are you even asking that question? You should know. I'm here just to bear fruit.
Amen.
This is a funny kind of training this morning. We don't realize the Lord's heart, and so we make light of this. We're okay if there's no fruit. We don't know the seriousness of this. I really think all the churches need a reorientation in this respect. My prayer is your church will bear fruit.
Amen.
I'm just not saying, oh, be bigger, mega church. I'm not saying that. Forget about that. I just want to see every branch normally bearing fruit.
Amen.
And if those who are already bearing, I would say more fruit.
Amen.
If those who are already bearing more fruit, I would say, bear much fruit.
Amen.
And bear remaining fruit.
Amen.
I think actually all the churches need to kneel down and pray this prayer.
Amen.
Every single saint need to kneel down before their bed and pray this prayer.
Amen.
Lord, give me fruit.
Amen.
This fruit is not just for me.
Amen.
This fruit is for the Father's glory.
Amen.
And for your joy.
Amen.
And even our full joy.
Amen.
All that you have given to us, the life, the truth, the riches, all these things, even your dealing, even your cutting, even your pruning, is but for one thing. I like to recommend these days, sing that famous hymn by Brother Watchman Nee, 635. 'Tis about life is measure.
What?
It's not by gain, but by loss. It's not how much you have drunk, right? But how much you have, how much you have poured out. That hymn is, we like to look at it as an inner life hymn, you know, one of the top, which is it, it is, about the work of the cross, about you know, that is a, that's, is, that song is called The Story of the Grapevine. And we know that actually, to me, that is Brother Nee's top hymn. Actually, that is Brother Nee's biography, his autobiography. In the form of a song.
Amen.
You read. I mean, it talks about this vine tree from spring to summer, from summer to fall to winter.
Amen.
And there's a wonderful picture of the description of this vine tree in the winter time, and that is while everyone is in the house, this vine is still in the snow, in the cold, being shunned, being forgotten,
Amen.
Being still there, and then pruned and ugly and just abandoned, all so that when the season comes again,
Amen.
This tree will bear fruit once again.
Amen.
This tree knows nothing but to bear fruit, and that fruit is grapes, and grapes is to make wine. Huh? And the wine is eventually to cheer man. And it's all in the song. It's all in the song. And that depicts Brother Nee's life. His whole life is a life of suffering and pruning. Struggling vine produce better wines. That's with Watchman Nee. The ultimate, all of this, the work of the cross, all these things, is not just to make you a spiritual God-man for show. It is there will be fruit produced and wine made to cheer both God and man.
Amen.
My, that thought just inspires me. That thought just inspires me. Brothers, we are in life for nothing. Even we're in the church life for nothing, but to bear fruit.
Amen.
For God's joy.
Amen.
And our joy.
Amen.
Brothers, really. Set your life, your heart, your soul from now on to bear fruit.
Amen.
For the vine, or as part of the vine. Really. Get up for this. Go to bed for this.
Amen.
Grow in life for this. Be constituted with the truth for this. Be built up the saints for this. If the Lord be merciful that there is such a change in our thinking, in our orientation, in our assessment of our meaning and purpose, both individually as a brother and corporately as the church in your locality. I tell you, a lot of things will happen spontaneously. Shall we, brothers, start living a fruit-bearing life?
Amen.
I mean, just live that life. We live to bear fruit.
Amen.
Don't you think the Lord will be happy and answer your prayers? And all this is for the increase of the body. And that is the Lord's expression. Now, this fruit bearing has to be regular.
Amen.
Not once in a great while when I feel like it or when I'm inspired. No. Day in, day out, the vine tree is there, knowing its purpose, that is to bear fruit in another season, in another year. And brothers, we need to rise up. I appeal to the churches in Northern California.
Amen.
I'm not stirring up gospel fire, okay? I'm coming from another angle.
Amen.
To stir you up, to burden you, to speak. Yes, put some pressure on you to rise up, to live and to practice fruit bearing. It's missing. It is short. This should not be a periodic stirring up. This should be a normal life.
Amen.
That we live. You want to hear something about, oh, it's already 10. I usually go to 10:30. Yeah, in the first. You want to hear about struggling vines?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes,
sir. First, it talks this way. He said, actually, vines don't just grow like, you know, these vineyards. They grow in the wild. You know, it's a plant that grows in the wild. And it is a climbing plant. You know, vines, they climb. Yeah. So in a wild situation, it is a climbing. You know, they have these tendrils and things. They stick to the a tree or something like that, and they just climb on something. Okay. So they use bush and trees as support to grow themselves. And as long as there's water, this vine will send out shoots, and the shoots will, you know, that's how it grows, and climb. And even so much so that even if the shoot should touch the ground, it has the capacity to start another root system, you know, and to so keep growing like this, you know, endlessly. And in this kind of wild situation, it produces small, very small bunches of grapes. And not only so, but the grapes are usually unedible. It's tart. It's not he can eat it. And if some people take that and make wine, those wine would be very, very acidic and not good for drinking. But the vine is very pretty, flourishing, growing, climbing all over the place. But the fruit and the wine is not good for consumption. Do you get the point? It's for beauty. It's for its glory. It's for its own spread. Okay, all right. He said today the way the people would, I mean, the people would actually grow grapes. They found that the way for the to make wine, that by making the vines struggle, generally results in much better grapes. Okay. He said, this is, I'm reading, okay? He said, it's kind of a bit like people. You put someone in a perfect environment, give them every comfort and everything. All they could ever want is to satisfy their own physical needs. And all that eventually could have consequences on their personality. In other words, in a bad way. Too easy. Everything is easy. And you grow. But you grow in that kind of a way that is not productive. You see the point? He's human being like that. Now, if you take a grapevine and make water and nutrients, all that easily accessible, it will give you poor grapes. Somewhat counterintuitively. You think if you have so much supply, you grow a lot of... No. When things are easy, everything is good, you grow poor grapes. I like that. I like that thought. That counterintuitive thought. Okay. This is because the grapevine has a choice. You know, the grapevine, they can think, you know. They have a choice. Given a favorable environment, and it will choose to take the vegetative route. That is, it will put all its energies to make leaves and shoots. You know, when the environment is easy, favorable, all the energy of this vine will go to making itself more pretty, more, you know what I mean? More leaves, more shoots. What effectively is what it's saying is, hey, this is a fine spot. I'm going to make my home here. It won't be too bothered about making grapes. To spend all the energy to beautify itself. But you make things difficult for the vine, like restricting water supply, making nutrients scarce, pruning it hard, and then crowding it with close neighbors. That sounds like vital companions. Then it will take the hump. It will sense that this is not the ideal place to be grapevine. That kind of grapevine. It will sense it. Instead of devoting itself to growing big and sprawling, you know that, it will focus its effort on reproducing itself. That means to produce fruit. Because it sensed the environment is not good. It's restricted. It's not easy. So it will channel its energy not to spread like this, but to channel its energy to reproduce itself. because it will die, right, if it doesn't reproduce itself. For the grape, that translates into making more grapes. And this is exactly what these vineyards do today, right? They control the water, they do this to force this vine tree to send roots deep into the subsoil and to force the vine tree to scavenge resources, you know, nutrients, to exist. And all this are the right environment, ideal environment for growing high quality grapes. And he said, this is interesting, he said, another benefit of making the vine struggle a bit is that its yields will be lower. Now, I don't know about much fruit and more fruit, how this match, but lower yield, but higher quality grapes. Not a bunch of acidic and sour grapes, but less grapes, but every grape quality. And so he said, normal irrigation techniques that you use will make the vine lazy to produce top quality fruit. It will just produce some fruit, but it will be lazy and not produce really quality fruit by the normal kind of irrigation method. Now there certain universities, research places are studying to find ways to take advantage of the fact that the struggling vine concentrate more of their energies on fruit production. And so they talk about, you know, some special method to deprive this part of the root of water for a few weeks and then deprive this part, and I don't know all these kind of stuff, but by basically making this vine tree struggle. And by doing this cyclically, when the root is deprived of water, they call it their underwater stress. That means they're stressed, they have to struggle, right? And this caused the roots to send signal to the shoots, you know, to send signal to the shoots and tell them to concentrate on grape production. So the root senses is what? Shortage of water or shortage of nutrients, so it sends signals to the shoot that, hey, limited supply. Don't waste your energy to make yourself pretty. Concentrate to reproduce yourself and make fruit. Amen. That's what it's telling you. It's very wonderful. Concentrate on grape reproduction, not growing leaves. Don't get leafy. Don't get pretty, okay? Don't get spiritual. Concentrate on what? Grape production. Concentrate to get fruit. How about that? I keep this in my bag, this struggling grape thing in my bag, because I like to reread it again and again. Brothers, I'll tell you, this is the husbandman's work, handiwork, to even the way he arranged things in our lives, your life and my life, in the environment, in our situation. Because he does not want his supply to us, which is essential, to be wasted. He doesn't want to give himself to you as your life supply in a wasted way, just so that you can be beautiful, just so that you can be leafy, just so that you can be sprawling. He needs to prune, he needs to restrict the supply, he needs to control your access, all of this to make you struggle. But that struggling is not just to make you suffer, per se. It is so that you can concentrate on fruit production. I find this to be very, very helpful. Dear brothers, it is possible for us in the Lord's recovery, so full of riches. Am I right? Look, today the library, the collected works, all these things. We could start living an easy life. Oh, so rich, so enjoyable. Are you following me? I tell you, frequently in the history of the church, at times of persecution, the number grows. I won't mention the country. There's this big country on the earth today, soon to overtake U.S. as a dominant economic power. It's persecution, even now. Okay, I tell you, in that persecution, more people today believe in the Lord Jesus than when that country started in the present regime. Manyfold. Brotherly one time said, in that country, the challenge is persecution. In this country, the challenge is the easiness of life. Amen. And I tell you, that persecution eventually result in a lot of fruit. But the easiness of life eventually result in not much fruit. And when I say easiness of life this morning, I'm not just even talking about the world, you know, that I'm talking about even our church life. So enjoyable, so accessible, everything. And it could be that even we use this word enjoyment too much. Or too what? Easily. Oh, I enjoy. Even you enjoy so much, you don't have any struggle. And so, no fruit. Your energy is not concentrating on reproduction, on more fruit, but for more your enjoyment, your happiness, your spiritual beauty. Brothers, that's my burden. I hope this kind of freestyle speaking, huh? We all would have some feeling, would have some view and burden for ourselves to start with. Amen.
Amen?
Now in the second session, I will talk about something practical. But I want us to really take this very, very seriously. Okay, let's have a little prayer and we can...